Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Protein Housey with a Purpose. Text line 69306. From the 913, it's noon. How in the hell is Serta and Pete still hungover? Great question.
You drink all day, and then you sleep very little, and you stay hungover all day.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride and Steven Serta from Show and Vern tied one on yesterday, and both of them completely mailing it in. If you missed it, Pete Sweeney, when asked about the Brashad Breeland signing, said, when asked if it's up on arrowheadpride.com, he said, it'll get there. And Serta, knowing that Ron the Show Hughley is out all week and that I might need a hand here and there to bring 4 hours of somewhat entertaining radio, I'm going to need his voice, both of them mailing it in. Text line 69306, listener 101 says, Pete sounds rougher than Serta. And from the 913, man, I wish I had a job where I could decide what I wanted to do for that day. 660 writes in, sorry, this show sucks. Vern, you've tried your best to keep it together. Well, I appreciate you sticking it out with us. Sorry to see you go.
Dave Gettleman sucks.
Listener 417, I'm still listening to this train wreck. I can't believe it. Neither can I. Hey, I did want to say this real quick on the NCAA tournament. No hot take about UC Irvine or Northeastern. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've watched them. I'm not going to regurgitate some crap that I read online about either one of those two teams. And aren't we all old enough to know that predictions are absolutely idiotic when it comes to the NCAA tournament? Especially after last season when a 16 beats a 1. Let's just not act as if we got this thing figured out. So look, if you came here going, oh, I want a full breakdown of K-State's road to the Final Four, how is Kansas going to get to Kansas City in the Sweet 16? The answer is win games. That's it. But if you want X's and O's on UC Irvine and Northeastern and the bracket breakdown, that's not me. I don't think that's what this show is or ever will be. Brashad Breeland signs. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm going to give you a full breakdown of Brashad Breeland off of what he did last season in Green Bay. Someone that dives into the tape for a living, Seth Kaiser from The Athletic, he'll join us at 1:15. We'll get his thoughts and what the tape tells him about Brashad Breeland. He's a Chiefs film analyst for The Athletic, also a lawyer, so we'll get his thoughts on Tyreek Hill and what we're allowed to say and what we should believe when it comes to the Tyreek Hill situation. So Seth Kaiser coming your way at 1:15 if you want someone that has unique opinions, that has dove into the tape and knows what kind of player that the Chiefs just signed for a one-year incentive-laden deal. Again, cornerback Brashad Breeland is now a Kansas City Chief. But I wanted to say this about the NCAA tournament and the local teams. It's my opinion that even if K-State is one and done, one win and then they lose, or even if they lose that first round matchup, I'll be quite honest with you, it's still a successful season. I'm not letting what they did last year without Dean Wade confuse me as to what they should do this year, possibly without Dean Wade. Now, if the senior big man returns and he's out there come Friday at 1 o'clock, a game in which you can hear right here on 610 Sports Radio. Now, if Dean Wade's out there, yeah, man, my expectation, and I think K-State's fan base should expect a win on Friday, a win on Sunday, and another berth in the Sweet 16. But if you don't have Dean Wade out there, this to me has already been a successful season. This is a season in which there's going to be a banner that acknowledges what the 2018-2019 K-State Wildcats men's basketball team did. This senior class can leave with their chest out and their head held high by being the squad that ended Kansas's run of 14 straight Big 12 titles. Now, on the flip side, Kansas, to me, they have to make it to the Sweet 16 to have their chest out, to have their head held high. You got to be remembered for something. I know this team doesn't have a senior, so it won't be that scarlet letter on them that not only were they the ones that were unable to walk away with a conference title, but they also fell short of the Sweet 16 and fell short of winning the conference tournament. Yeah, to me, all the pressure's on Kansas, and Bruce Weber and K-State are playing with house money. Protein House, Eat with the Purpose, text line 69306. Also over the weekend, and maybe lost in all of the NCAA and conference tournament hype, was Dee Ford. Former Chiefs linebacker Dee Ford had his introductory press conference in San Francisco over the weekend, and of course he was asked about lining up offsides against the Patriots.
Look, it happens, man. Unlucky play. Would I take it back? Of course, anybody would. It was devastating, but like I said, when I first did the interview, I gave myself 2 days to pout about it, and I'm over it, you know?
Considering the season you had, were you disappointed that the Chiefs didn't want to make a long-term commitment to you?
No, this is a business at the end of the day. They had to do what they needed to do, and that's why Andy's great. You know, he has to do what's best for the team. This is a business at the end of the day. So as players, we don't get caught into that. And so we look at the challenge that's ahead. This is my new challenge, and I'm excited. I think you can hear we're all excited, and we're moving on.
Dee Ford also discussed what was different for him last year that allowed him to have that breakout season. He said maturity. That's the first thing he harped on, was maturity as far as becoming a professional. And I think a lot of us can acknowledge that happened in our own lives, where maybe you took your job for granted, but then you reach a certain age, something happens in your life where you go, hey, man, this isn't promised. And maybe I need to put in more work, be a little bit more diligent than I have been in years previous. Nothing to read into, sir, to why I'm staring right at you. But the maturity that Dee Ford said he found last season, along with the health, right? Dee Ford said, not only was I more of a mature, well-rounded, intelligent football player last year, but also healthy. And I've been healthy since the midway point of the 2017 season. So he did go out of his way to make the case that he's no longer that, quote, injury-prone player. He believes that he's shed that label, and I'm sure that label worries a lot of San Francisco 49ers fans out there. So after I'm listening to this press conference, and if you've listened, you know I'm not a fan of the Dee Ford trade, but after listening to that press conference, I was A, curious as to whether or not the Chiefs believed that Dee Ford did turn over a new leaf when it comes to maturity. And then when I saw the contract that Therese Paylor was the first to report, when I saw what the numbers were, because at first it sounds huge, right? 5 years, $87 million, and you're like, oh my God, there's no way the Chiefs would ever pay that. And maybe Dee Ford was a guy that was banging on the table saying, you've got to show me long-term security. You have to commit to me, or I'm going to sit out the season. I'll do the Le'Veon Bell. But then Therese puts out the numbers that, yeah, it's a 5-year, $87 million deal, but what it really is, what it essentially is a 1-year deal for $19.7 million. So that kind of dismisses the idea that he's banging on the table saying, I need long-term security. I need you to commit to me. Makes me wonder even more what the Chiefs were doing. The Chiefs had Dee Ford on a 1-year $15.4 million deal. He signs a 1-year $19.7 million deal with the San Francisco 49ers. So Dee Ford wasn't lying when he said, I'll play for the franchise tag. Why would I turn down $15, $16 million? And it made me think, why in the world are the 49ers more willing to take on that one-year deal, more willing than the Chiefs? Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports on Twitter points out that the Niners were more equipped to handle the cap hit than the Chiefs were. Not that the Chiefs couldn't, but the Niners had more cap room. Now, that doesn't do it for me, because I don't believe that you can supplement the kind of production that Dee Ford gave you last season. I heard what Brett Veach said about supplementing what Dee Ford gave them last year, but how many players will it take to supplement a player that led the league in quarterback hits and quarterback pressures? Therese also points out that maybe the Chiefs were concerned with his injury history and how he would fit into the scheme. That's Therese wondering aloud on Twitter. Neither one of those things can I really buy, because first of all, the injury history, man, this is football. Sammy Watkins has an injury history and Veach still gave him top five money. Tyrann Mathieu has an injury history and you just gave him nearly $30 million. All we needed was half of that for Dee Ford. Injuries happen. Talented football players that can hit the quarterback, that doesn't happen. That doesn't just pop up out of nowhere. You can't plan for injuries, but when you get talent, you should hang on to it. And as far as the whole he doesn't fit the scheme thing, I've touched on this before. I'll do it again. I believe that Steve Spagnuolo is a quality coach. And coaching to me is about putting your players in the best position to succeed. I swear to God that football is the only sport in which we make these kind of excuses for coaches of, well, Dee Ford doesn't fit what he wants to do. Well, then you can find a way to highlight his strengths, to utilize a player that, again, led the league in quarterback pressures and quarterback hits. You're going to be hard-pressed to get more out of that second-round pick in 2020 than what you got out of Dee Ford last year and what you could have gotten out of him this year. But honestly, that scheme argument, maybe I'm dense, which is very possible, but that just does not hit home to me. I mean, again, look around the rest of sports. Mike Moustakas is a second baseman for the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, the Golden State Warriors didn't say, hey, we got enough jump shooters. We got enough scorers. We don't need Kevin Durant. No, you find a way to utilize talent, to procure talent within your organization and allow it to flourish. No one out there can say that Dee Ford doesn't have talent. And I don't believe anyone out there can say that Steve Spagnuolo isn't an above-average coach. So to me, an above-average coach should be able to milk out whatever talent is inside of Dee Ford. And as we saw last year, there's plenty of it. Now, give the phone number. We'll see if Serta actually answers the phones. But I will take your thoughts. 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. Hey, we've discussed a lot concerning the Chiefs today. Dee Ford, Brett Veach. We've disagreed, text line. We've disagreed a lot on Dee Ford and Brett Veach. But to me, there's one aspect of the Chiefs that we all must agree on.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Show and Vern. Show on vacation. He is in Arizona at Royal Spring training with the family. They got there safe and sound last night. Show has been sending us selfies of him by the pool. As he should. God knows he works hard enough. He deserves it. Protein House Eat with a Purpose. Text line 69306 from the 816. Vern, I'm trying to call in. Still no answer.
I told you it's not a phone day. Might as well just not call in.
Steve and Pete Sweeney went out drinking yesterday, and they're both trying to ruin the show. God knows I'm trying my best to keep this bad boy afloat without our fearless leader, Ron, And they are both just trying to tear this thing down.
That wasn't the plan. I can see why you would feel that way, though.
I just wonder if any point yesterday you were like, man, Vern might need me. Maybe I shouldn't have this final shot or third. I don't know how many you had, but Pete's calling you Shot Steve now, so I would imagine that was your thing yesterday.
Well, I thought about it a handful of times, and I was like...
A handful.
Yeah, yeah. You know, at like 3 o'clock, I was like, okay, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go home soon. And then at like 5, I was like, all right, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go home soon. Then before you know it, it's like 8 o'clock, and I'm still not home. And I was like, all right, I probably need to get home. And then like 10 o'clock came around, and I was like, okay, now I really have to go home.
Listener 71, quit being a hater, Vern. Okay. I'm being the hater. Listener 5, make Pete Sweeney the new show. No. Listener 622, I'm listening to this show till the wheels fall off. Not sure how many wheels it has left, but I'm still riding with you guys. Thank you very much.
Oh, we got 4 donuts on right now.
Listener 3.14159, this show sucks, but it sucks a wee bit less when show is doing selfies at spring training. And from the 913, Vern, if you plan to count on Serta today, well, then it's your own damn fault. You should know better. It's a good point. Ooh, I like this. We should send this to Ron. He would love this text from the 785. You guys should take advantage of Ron's absence and do more lists and make Steve's favorite movies or TV show bracket.
I'd be happy to do that.
No, they'd be all Marvel movies.
Ooh.
Endless list of Marvel movies.
I went and saw Captain Marvel again this weekend. I could
out for a week?
This is the second week it was out. I saw it last week, and I went and saw it again this weekend because I was going to go to that dinosaur thing, but Ron talked me out of it. So then I went to see Captain Marvel instead, and then I went to the basketball game.
Just continue to do whatever Ron tells you, don't you?
I'll rank all the Marvel movies.
No.
And then we can go through it. And I do not do whatever Ron tells me. I am a grown man.
Okay.
I do what I want.
So now you're angry.
Unless he makes me feel like it's going to be creepy if I go to the dinosaur exhibit by myself.
I know when I'm hungover, I can be an emotional roller coaster. I get angry. I get sad. It all happens. And it sounds like we're back to angry Steve now.
Not angry. I'm just, you know, I'm a grown-ass man. I do what I want. Not what show tells me.
Sure did seem and we like all he was know, directing you.
All we all weekend. Know, behind the scenes, I'm the real leader of the show.
Okay. All right. I want to get back to the Chiefs. Just disregard what he's saying right now. Please stick with us. God knows you made it this far. We got your favorite show coming your way at 2 o'clock, The Drive. Don't worry. But, yeah, we've disagreed a lot. I see there's a handful of people that disagree with me on Dee Ford and Brett Veach. But, yeah, I think there's one thing that we should all agree on here in Kansas City, and that is we should all hate Kareem Hunt. Well, hate him. Sports hate him. I think we should all sports hate him. Now, if you want to hate him as a person, hey, that's – I try to not use that word. I try to not hate people. And I don't hate Kareem Hunt, the person, but hey, I don't know your life. I don't know your experiences. If you do, then hey, you do whatever you want. But sports hate's good. KUMU, that's sports hate right there, baby. Ohio State, Michigan, that's some sports hate. We should sports hate Kareem Hunt. Because I'm watching SportsCenter this weekend, which is odd. Don't really watch SportsCenter that much anymore, but they're, you know, giving you the news about the 8-game suspension. Kareem Hunt has been given an 8-game suspension by the NFL. And the woman anchor on SportsCenter, I mean, all she was doing was reporting the facts, but it was almost as if I hadn't really thought it through. She hits me with a line that's, Kareem Hunt will be back for the Cleveland Browns in week 9. Or as she put it, Kareem Hunt will return in week 9 fully rested for the team that is currently the Vegas favorite to win the AFC North. You guys know football. You know about the attrition of those 16 games, about how brutal this game is. Can you imagine getting a running back with the talent of Kareem Hunt back in week 9? There's a boost for any ball club, let alone one that already has Beckham and Landry and Mayfield under center. Now, I don't say this with any regret. The Chiefs did the right thing. Maybe they didn't give the best reason as to why they were releasing him. Instead of saying it was for putting his hands on a woman, it was because he lied to him. Nonetheless, they did the right thing, in my opinion, in releasing him. So I don't disagree with their decision. I don't regret their decision. I'm not saying, oh man, I wish we still had Kareem Hunt. None of that. I'm merely pointing out that this guy should rank right up there, if not at the top, of all Kansas City sports villains. This was a guy that was supposed to be a part of the Kansas City triplets, right? The Mahomes, Hunt, and Hill. Affordable playmakers that were going to lead the Chiefs into the golden age of Kansas City football. But instead, this, I'm sorry to name call, but that's an idiotic move. This immature hothead can't keep his hands to himself, lies about it to his employer, forces them to fire him, ultimately making it easier for him to sign with his hometown team and help give them the preeminent set of triplets in the AFC. I love Mahomes and Hill, but Damian Williams right now doesn't do it for me. That's not the triplets of the AFC. No, that's Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and eventually Kareem Hunt. That's a team that has positioned itself to match the Chiefs in 2019 and in 2020. Heck, they can match the Chiefs for the next 5+ years. So, hey, there's plenty of reasons to dislike Kareem Hunt. We've discussed them ad nauseum here. But the sports hate needs to be taken up a notch, in my opinion, when it comes to Kareem Hunt. Now, you can pray for the young man. I'm going to hope that the young man gets his life together. I truly do. I hope he becomes a model citizen and can teach others about the wrongs of his past. But that doesn't change the fact that in Kansas City, we should sports hate this guy for the rest of his career. Because who knows what he cost this city last season? Or what his anger problems ruined for the Chiefs last season and moving forward. Maybe they beat the Patriots with him. So if he turns his life around, man, awesome. We can all celebrate and tip our cap to Andy Reid and Clark Hunt for doing the right thing and teaching him a lesson that we're not going to allow you to get away with lying and get away with whatever you want. So if he turns his life around, to me, he's just like a, you know, and the Browns win, he's like a Bumgarner. He's like an Elway. Guys that took something from us or stopped Kansas City from achieving something. But if he doesn't, if he remains selfish, angry, immature, if he remains that immature young man, then he, in my opinion, should hold a special place in this city, a place where we all agree he is the absolute worst. Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. I hope you can decipher the difference between real hate and sports hate. I can pull for the young man to turn his life around, but it doesn't mean that when he and the Browns come to Arrowhead down the line that I will not boo mercilessly. I hope he becomes a better man, but to me, he's always going to be the guy that leads to that what-if question here in Kansas City. The Chiefs did the right thing in getting rid of him. He obviously did an abhorrent thing, putting his hands and kicking a young woman. I hope he becomes a better man and turns it around. But I'm hearing way too much regret from Chiefs fans. Way too much, man, we could really use him. When it needs to be, no, he is the SOB that turned his back on his teammates, on his organization, and on this city by allowing his lack of maturity and lack of coping skills to remove himself from that volatile situation in Cleveland. 913-57, I don't know why I'm giving the phone number. He's not going to answer the phones. I apologize. I would love to hear from you, but it's likely not going to happen. As Steve has told us over and over again, it's not a phone day. I can't walk the 5 feet over to the phone. So when we get back, we will stick with the Chiefs. And if Tyreek Hill is found to not be involved in this case with his son, I don't think those of you that are already jumping to conclusions need to feel bad.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back, Show and Vern, minus Show. He'll be back next Monday. He's enjoying a week with the family down at Royal Spring Training, as he should. Good for him. Royals off today, by the way. They are back at it tomorrow night. We'll have the game for you right here on 610 Sports Radio. They take on the Chicago Cubs tomorrow night. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306 from listener 59. Steve is a grown-ass man that sees superhero movies multiple times in theaters, shows up to work drunk, and can't answer the phone, and he also habitually lies about things. I wonder why he's single. Listener 59.
I'm still not going to answer your phone calls.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about it. I'm not his boss. I can't, I can ask him. I can show him that I'm not happy. And sometimes he just doesn't care.
Also, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Oh my God. If I can't put the podcast up today, that's not my fault. That's not on me.
Listener 31, this is the best show on 610. Everyone who disagrees is soft, and I'm 100% down for Serta's Marvel rankings. No, we're not doing that.
I'll put it together.
Yeah, put it up on the website or something. Do a blog. Maybe people will read it.
I'm going to crush that power ranking.
All right. Yeah, I want to stay with the Chiefs. Because anytime Patrick Mahomes is involved, anytime Patrick Mahomes is in the news, I think it's front page stuff in Kansas City. Right, we all agree the NFL is the biggest sport in the world, well, the biggest sport in America. And Patrick Mahomes is the brightest star in the biggest sport. So when I see the Tyreek Hill news, yeah, I mean it draws me to Patrick Mahomes. I think there's a tie in there because I don't know if there's anyone that's has the ability, well, next to Andy Reid. How about that? Next to Andy Reid, I don't think there's anyone that can make an impact on Patrick Mahomes' ability to be the MVP more so than Tyreek Hill. Now, Pat can still be a star without Tyreek. I'm not saying that. But those two together, man, that's once-in-a-lifetime stuff. That speed with that arm, you know, you saw it all last season. So when Tyreek Hill is in the news for the reasons that he's in the news, it has a way of dominating the conversation here in Kansas City. I know whether it was having family over this weekend or just conversing with people at the grocery store, it wasn't about Kansas or K-State or the Big 12 tournament. No, it was about Tyreek Hill. I don't have a hot take. I'm also not going to do what I saw a lot of people doing, and understandably so to a certain extent, a lot of people on Twitter over the weekend chastising others for jumping to conclusions about Tyreek Hill. The hey, he hasn't been charged yet. What are you doing? Oh, this person should be fired for reporting the news. You know, the Kansas City Star has a source that tells them that Hill's son broke his arm from the incident, or it's been KCTV5 as police reports that show an earlier incident in March at the home of Tyreek Hill. This is a second incident on March 14th. All we know is that Tyreek Hill is involved in an investigation by law enforcement and the Kansas Department of Children and Families. Not that he's the subject of an investigation, that he's the target of an investigation, just that he's involved in an investigation. So that's all we know. To act as if, oh, here we freaking go. Can't believe Tyreek would do this. No, that is irresponsible. To act as if we know anything is irresponsible journalism or entertainment or even tweets. I'm not arguing that. He has not been charged. We don't know if he has any part, large or small, in any of this. But I'm not going to take this time, and I advise you not to take away your personal time on social media criticizing others for jumping to conclusions. Because Tyreek Hill and the National Football League created this world. I mean, we all know about Tyreek Hill's past, pleading guilty to domestic assault and battery by strangulation. It's been expunged from his record. The conviction was dismissed. But it's my opinion, if you can find yourself in that situation, if you can get to a place physically and mentally to where something happens to where you're standing before a judge pleading guilty to domestic assault and battery by strangulation, man, I'm 35. I've never gotten there. And I feel 100% sure that I'm never going to get there. I'll never let anyone push me to a place where I'm pleading guilty to domestic assault and battery by strangulation. Not looking down from on high, I'm not a perfect person, but I know I don't have that inside of me. So if you're able to go to that place mentally, the onus is on you, in my opinion. The onus is on you to prove that that's not who you are for the rest of your life. It's tough, and it's, you could say, unfair. I'm not going to argue with you if you say I'm being unfair. It's okay. Because you were that person. Even if it's for one day, you were that person. So yes, the onus is on you to prove to me and society that you're no longer that person, because that is heinous. That warrants a scarlet letter. Now, we in America, we'll give you a second chance. We'll give you a chance to rebuild your life, but you're on some thin ice and you start behind the eight ball and we're all going to be skeptical. So if you hear someone today or if you've heard someone over the past few days jump to one of those irresponsible conclusions, well then, man, that's Tyreek Hill's own damn fault. It's his fault, and it's the fault of those that he associates with, those who pay him, the NFL. Because the NFL, they can't cry for patience either. I hate saying this, but you know it's true. That even if Tyreek Hill is, when the facts come out, we learn that, man, Tyreek Hill had nothing to do with any of this. It's a shame that his name was even brought up. Oh, man. Even if that happens, do you think we're that far away from it being in the news cycle? Not Tyreek Hill, but an athlete, an NFL athlete. I'm not saying the NFL is any worse than society. No, it's more likely to happen in your neighborhood than it is in an NFL locker room. So I'm not saying the NFL is the worst. They're certainly not the best of all professional sports organizations, but they're not the worst. But let's say there's no credence to this. Tyreek Hill's name shouldn't even have been brought up. Do you believe that we will make it through the 2019 season without an assault from an NFL athlete? I mean, I hope so. We can pray. We can hope. We can wish. But if you had to bet on it, do you think we're going to make it through the 2019 season without an assault being front page news? Right, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but it always feels like we're not far removed or not far away from an NFL athlete putting his hands on someone. And it might sound like I'm speaking from on high, but hey, I'm a customer of the NFL. I've okayed this just like you have. I'm going to watch Cleveland Browns games. I've watched, you know, I'm watching them all. So look, I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else. I'm just saying I'm not going to crush people on Twitter, Facebook, the text line callers, people that you run into in your life when they jump to a conclusion about this story when we don't know really any of the facts. All we know is that Tyreek Hill is involved in an investigation. Again, not that he's a target, not that he's a person of major interest. But I'm not going to fault people for taking the facts that have been presented to them over years by the NFL and the fact that Tyreek Hill pleaded guilty prior to becoming a Chief, pleaded guilty to domestic assault and battery by strangulation. I don't think you are off base or completely out of line when you jump to a conclusion like that. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
For some reason, the Tennessee Titans traded for Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill. And there's going to be the worst QB battle of all time going on in Tennessee between Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill.
What's your beef with Marcus Mariota?
I used to love Marcus Mariota. Yeah. I used to think that he was the future of the NFL. I have now given up on him. He is not a fun player to watch. I do not enjoy the Tennessee Titans' style of football or really anything they do as a franchise. And it's going to be even worse next season with him and Ryan Tannehill.
I still think it's Mariota's job. I think he's better than Ryan Tannehill. And as he... I'm honestly asking. I'm not... making a statement. Has he had a wide receiver of note? I know they drafted that kid out of Western Michigan, but he hasn't really panned out, has he?
No. Corey Davis, who's an okay player. He drops a lot of passes.
They thought he was going to be AB. That hasn't happened. They're a running team.
Yes. They do not have a lot of pass catchers. Delanie Walker has been his best pass catcher.
Right.
But he's also not very good at throwing, so that doesn't help.
Not very good at throwing. Well, I wish the Tennessee Titans the absolute best. And I also ask you listening, how far away do you think we are from Serta being a Titans fan? He can say he hates them now, but as you learn Thursdays on Steve's 32, things change quickly. I'll say before the season starts, the Titans will do something that will get him all sorts of football horny. Hey, when we get back, I'll tell you what Kansas and Kansas State must do this week in order to see next week of the NCAA tournament.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Oh, get in here. All right, welcome back. Show and Vern. Show on vacation. He's out all week. He is with the family at Royal Spring Training in Surprise, Arizona. Royals off tonight. Back tomorrow, 8 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio. Now, I want to continue this because the boss, Steven Spector, and Serta arguing throughout the break as, look, it's well known now, Serta, and I'm interested to see how this goes on the air.
You want me to sit?
Yeah, come on. No, I want this to continue. Serta, who got hammered yesterday and really is leaving his boy Vern hanging out to dry, knowing that he needed Serta with the absence of Ron. Friday at the Big 12 tournament, Serta was also, believe it or not, out partying then.
I did have a few.
And Spector, you say that's no longer
an elite drinking night. No. It's not on my Mount Rushmore of Kansas City drinking nights. And that does not include your July 4th and your Cinco de Mayo's and your St. Patrick's Day. Drinking days in Kansas City specifically, it is not a top four event.
Because I've gotten nothing from Serta today. He has helped this show not one bit. And this is some actual passion that I've seen from him today.
So, but okay, so what are elite drinking days? Because I was at the Big 12 tournament, I was at Power and Light, and it was packed. I've been drinking at the Big 12 tournament for years.
So have I, but it's no, it's still not an elite drinking night. No, it's not. Times have changed.
But what times have changed for you? You're now.
Serta's gotten older too. He's almost 30.
But you've matured.
That's fair.
You're a man now.
Well,
he, on the other hand, is not.
Yeah, I really don't like.
What's your case for Friday night at the Big 12 tournament being an elite drinking night? Because 85% of the people there are not from Kansas City.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go hang out with people from Kansas City.
I'm with Serta.
Like, it's just about drinking and having a good time and being around a bunch of people.
I'll give you my list. Does that work?
Okay.
Opening day. Usually a day game at the K. Much better drinking day than Big 12. Can you argue that?
But you can start day drinking early on Friday at the Big 12.
Right.
No one is day drinking on Friday at the Big 12. The game doesn't start till 6.
Oh, people still go down there and drink.
No, they
people
don't.
Take the whole weekend off.
No, they don't.
Right. People are coming from out of town.
Yeah, maybe they're drinking in their hotel room. That's not a great drinking day. Opening day at the K is a way better drinking day at the K. So is the first night game at Arrowhead. I'll take the first night game, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night Arrowhead. Everybody takes the day off. The parking lots are full. You're drinking with people who are from Kansas City. Both are better than Big 12. Plaza Art Fair is better. American Royals better. Snake Saturday is better. And I would say the Friday of March Madness is a better drinking day.
I disagree. I disagree across the board. I'm with Serta on this. I want people from out of town. I want there to be a feeling of,
randomness. I don't want
yes on vacation. I don't want to see people that I'm going to run into again. I would rather be able to act a fool private.
If I'm going to pay $14 for a beer at Power and Light, I don't want to stand behind six guys from West Virginia waiting for a Natty Light. No. Access to beer,
that's
drinking
how you get the
with
big
friends,
one. They last
good
for
weather.
It.
Those are the three prerequisites for a great drinking day. And Big 12, I don't think, has that anymore. Now, if it's KU and K-State, and we had Missouri back in the Big 12, like 2012, then we can talk about that being an elite drinking day. And maybe you're right. I've gotten older, gotten engaged. I get all that. But it's not better than Snake Saturday. It's not better than all your buddies and all your fellow Royals fans at opening day. It's not better than a night game at Arrowhead. Plaza Art Fair is a great outdoor drinking event. American Royal. All those are better than Friday night at the Big 12.
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose. Text line 69306 from the 816. Great drinking days come with the randomness and the lines that are a part of the Friday of the Big 12 tournament. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose. Text line, listener 05. I'm sorry, you're wrong. This was St. Paddy's Day weekend. Everyone was drinking from Friday until Monday morning. Case in point, Steven Serta.
I was raging.
Text line 69306. Spec, Vern, you're both buzzkills. Serta, never change.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you argue that Saturday night at the Big 12 is a better drinking day?
No, I think any time that event is here, that's when you party. Again, I think it's just more of a reflection of you and I being out of the game.
Thursday's a great drinking day, too. At least you have games starting at 11 a.m.
Spec, you've had a rough go today. Not only are you way off on this opinion about Friday at the Big 12 tournament, most of the text line agrees it's a great drinking day.
But I'm not saying it's not a great drinking day. I'm saying it's not one of the best Kansas City drinking days, and we have a lot of good ones here.
See, I don't think you have a lot of good ones. You don't have a lot of reasons for people to descend on the city. This is one of them, and you want to revel in it. When people are coming to your town, you want to make it seem even busier, so you get out there and you party.
Yeah, that's from the commerce perspective. I get that. I want all the potholes fixed on Ward Parkway, and Iowa State's money is going to do that. But from a personal perspective, that's not one of the great drinks. Yes, it's great for the city. I'm a downtown resident myself. It's great for us. But that doesn't make it personally one of the best drinking days of the year. If the weather's not nice enough outside.
Well, you could say the same for the Royals opening day. It's often cold for that. Can't get caught up in weather. It's about people descending on your city. It's a great drinking day. Now, I didn't take part because I, like you, am now engaged and we have moved on in our lives.
Yeah, we're old. I get that part.
Exactly.
I drank at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning.
From the 816, Vern, keep in mind you're discussing this with a guy who believes a Hershey's chocolate bar is not candy. It's a chocolate bar.
It's not a candy bar. There's two different
Steven
things.
Steven Spector. I don't even want to get into your thoughts about the one and done.
It's got to end. This is the final one. I know. Thank God.
All right.
I'll tell you what. The relationship has been broken for years.
Yes. Okay.
No, the one and done doesn't care about college. The college fan doesn't care about the one and done. Watch Zion win it all this year, and then let's move on and get back to college basketball the way it was in the mid-2000s, early 2010s. That's when it was really fun. I don't know who's on the bubble this year. I don't know who's good in the tournament anymore. Get rid of the one and done, and let's be done with it after this year.
You're having a rough day. You're having a rough day.
No, I'm good.
I'm
back, baby.
I just liked the energy that you brought out of Serta. I can't even go there with the one and done.
Did you see what Serta wore yesterday? He didn't have a single piece of green apparel on.
I had one of those. I had, like, the green beads. I don't have anything green. I don't know.
That's not true. I've seen you wear something green.
Did you smoke?
A green T-shirt. Yes, he did smoke. Of course he smoked.
Okay.
I was drunk.
Thank you for bringing some life out of our guy, Steven Serta.
He's wrong. Spector,
appreciate having you on the show. Thank you very much. Quick timeout. When we get back, it was obvious that Dean Wade wasn't there for K-State this weekend. But some other absence, in my opinion, someone else's absence was even more evident.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.